when you get into the flow of the movement, it doesn't take much energy to be swept along. And the ministry becomes easy. It's not hard. Expansion and going on is not hard. It becomes easy. And it's just like getting into a stream. When a stream is flowing, and you get into the thick of it in your tiny little boat that God gives you, you don't have to paddle so hard. You only have to concentrate on the direction you go and avoid any bumps along the way. But it will carry you. The current will carry you. And you can be at rest. There are a lot of people struggling in the ministry. There are a lot of people wondering why they are high and dry. It's because they are not in the current of the Holy Spirit. When you flow with what the Spirit is doing, your churches will grow automatically. There won't be any struggle. Your fellowship will grow. Winning souls won't be a struggle. It is said, during the days of T.L. Osborne, when he was at his peak, he's now moved into a different phase of just training other people. But in the peak of his ministry, every church that opposed him declined after many years. But every church that has gone along with his campaigns, they grew. There is such a thing as a flow. Church growth is a flow. Fellowship, there's a certain flow as we go along. And ministry will be the easiest thing, and what I call a rest in God as you flow along. In chapter 2, once you have passed that stage and you're in the flow. See, the first is to get into the current so that you could flow along. Get in the flow. But when you get into the flow, you need some tools. Because when you get into the flow, remember, the river flows to straight and narrow ways. It's like a waterfall flowing. Sometimes there's a rock right in front of you, and the water will flow to the side and then pass it. But you will just head for the rock. So to get in the flow is important. But in chapter 2, he tells us how to flow with the current now that you're inside. You can't have chapter 2 unless you're already inside. So in chapter 2, he tells you how to work with it. How to work with the current that is there, that is flowing along. Because the energy is already flowing. It's easy to work and see what to do with the energy. So in chapter 2, he tells us that there are three different dimensions in the ministry. Number one, as a soldier. Number two, as an athlete. Number three, as a farmer. So at the same time you're a soldier, at the same time you're an athlete, and at the same time you're a farmer. So to be in the ministry is to hold those three occupations. Why a soldier? A soldier so that you could avoid the rocks and the things that will come your way. And you know how to endure. And sometimes once in a while you get a bit close to the rocks, you bruise yourself against the rocks. And you got to avoid them. It's endurance. Hardness. There has to be what I call a toughness in the ministry. Only the tough survive. Many people graduate from Bible colleges, but towards the end, you only see some. Thank God for those who still are in Christian life, even though they are out of the ministry. I know a lot of good friends who are like that. Thank God that they're still with God. But our heart feels sad that they should be out of the ministry. We want them to be in. We need toughness to survive. And somehow we got to mix it. You have to have that toughness, endurance, like Paul said, hardness of a soldier. Because the ministry is a place where you have to learn to be sacrificial. If your church needs the money and all you have is what little savings you have, and if the church that you're in charge of and you really love the work, if you were the Apostle Paul, you would give it in. That kind of hardness and sacrificial, being sacrificial. And if you're just starting a small little country church, and there's not enough chairs, people are growing, you will pack every chair you have in your house and put it there. That kind of sacrificial nature must come. Many years ago, about 10 years ago, I was talking to this minister who was having a few other people under him being trained in the ministry. And he was wondering why this outreach work never grew. And one of our friends was staying with them and came back and said, "You know why? This person's spare time, sit down, watch TV. Don't know anything but sacrifice. Expect that while you watch TV, the angels go and bring the souls." Now, I'm not against watching television if it's a genuine educational, informative things that you need to know. But if all you do is sit in front and watch the TV, and you never pray for the souls, and never pay the price, never go on your knees to travail for the soul, how do you expect the church to grow? The answer was right there. Why it didn't grow? There's no sacrifice. Then there's another church, another pastor wanted to. We are talking with ministry illustration because 1st, 2nd Timothy is about ministry. He's wondering why, you know, the church is not giving the way it should or growing the way it should, and he was wanting to expand the church. And while the church was in need, the pastor has a fat account, drives a huge big car, all the other church members comes in bicycle, and he says, "Come on, let's build a church." What does he want them to do? Sell their bicycles? I mean, if everybody drives a car and then he drives a car, that's fine. But there is something about being sacrificial that is a necessity to success in the ministry. Now, once you hit success, and then you must learn how to be a good example and handle it properly. But at the starting point, there is what I call a sacrifice involved. I mean, if there's no place to meet, you're willing to open your home. There is a sacrifice, personal, it must... If Jesus has to personally pay a personal sacrifice to redeem us, don't expect that in the ministry you can succeed without any personal sacrifices. Some people want to be professional. You know what a professional is? Don't touch anything personal. My job is my job. That's a professional minister. But we cannot succeed with that kind of mental attitude. We have to see that the ministry and us are one. Without a sacrifice, there is no success. We don't pay the price. If you still want to play your football or your bowling or your TV shows, all these things, and do the ministry at the same time, then you just want to be a professional. But if you want to plant a church, you start a church from nothing, there is a sacrifice involved. Paul was prepared to work with his hand and pay and feed others while he preached. He said he paid for his own means when he started some of those churches. It's sometimes very hard to find ministers like that today. Because sometimes when we graduate, we expect, hey, you know, where's the church? Oh, you want to employ me? Ah, church. Okay. What's the job description? By the way, what's the salary? What's the salary? Any benefits? Bonus? Retirement plans? Insurance? Right. Nothing against all those things. Those are part of organizations. But if that's all that a person looks for, it's a profession. If the apostle were to hear all, Apostle Paul were to hear all these things, I don't know what he will do from heaven. Maybe he'll be the first one to meet you in heaven. And he'll scoff.
Tanakao.
So the first quality is a soldier. Hardness, sacrificial. The second quality is an athlete. What is the main point about athlete? It's the discipline of the person. And he says an athlete in verse 5, he must compete according to the rules. You see, some people, if you become sacrificial, you can understand why Paul put all three together. If you become sacrificial and you don't have rules and limits, you can also kill yourself. Give an example. Let's say that you're a father, or you have children and a wife. So you're very sacrificial. Oh, there's no money to buy some more pills. Hey, can you all fast 3 more days? No? Take the money. Buy some more pills. Hallelujah. You're real sacrificial. But not only you sacrifice, your children sacrifice, your wife sacrifice. Now, there is a certain point where the rules have to be regulated. Where you reach a point where I know some ministers who go overboard on that side, and their wife doesn't have any food. And how do I find out? The wives come to me. Says, don't know what has happened to my husband. Not my church, right? This is not my church. Some other church. In case you start thinking, right? We have a lot of friends in the ministry. The wives come and say, look here, he hasn't given me anything for 2 months. Then I say, how do you all survive? I say, you know, we got a bit of money here and there, we make ends meet. And they say, I haven't seen him sometimes for 2 whole weeks. Don't know where he goes. He only comes back, say hallelujah, and disappears. So I have to call him up and say, look here, you're a father, you're a husband. That is irresponsible. And I said, if you cannot feed your family, how can you feed the church of God? So I said, but the Bible says, you shall deny husband, wife, children. Very clever to quote. So I also have to say, but the Bible says, if any man does not feed his family, he's an infidel, are you? So there are 2 preachers quoting the Bible. So I say, let's put the Bible aside for the meantime, don't argue with the Bible. Let's look even in a natural sense. It's wrong. So in the end, he relents, pulls back a bit. And so finally now, our family is happy together. See, the other point is an athlete has to sacrifice according to rules. When you speak about athlete, there are rules and discipline. Things like, he cannot wear too heavy things. He has to wear as light as possible. And his training is specialized to certain things. There's a specialized training for each athlete field. And so in the same way, there is the area of a goal. An athlete has a goal in mind. All of us human beings are made to have feasting, fasting, celebration, quietness. We must have all those mixture in order to be healthy. We human beings somehow need play time and work time. If all you have is work time without some recreation time, somehow your mental ability gets more down. And the 10 hours work is not equal to what 10 hours should produce. But if you take just half an hour here to have some recreation time, and you get back to your work, your energy even is more, your mental energy is more. So we are created by God in that manner. So an athlete has a goal. He knows at which point, as you're running the race, and most of the races Paul talk about are all marathon race. Very seldom he talks about 100 meter dash. In a 100-meter dash, you just give it all. But in a marathon race, you need strategy. You need to pace yourself.